Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in a moment. Congratulations in order for Montgomery, who only gave up one run through the PIAA Baseball Class A tournament to this point. They'll take on Bishop McCort in the finals on Friday out in State College. They beat Lancaster County Christian 5-0 last night, yesterday afternoon, technically. Bishop McCort, the winner in six over Elk County Catholic, 17-0. And we're also going to be represented here from District 4 in the softball tournament as Warrior Run defeated Nanico 14-1. Tay Parker with the win, stroke out four, walked one. Should mention for Montgomery, the Red Raider Garrett Schneider scored the win, struck out nine, and just allowed two hits in that Class A semifinal. So Warrior Run and Montgomery on the softball and the baseball side will be representing District 4 in the finals coming up this weekend, Friday, as a matter of fact. Other big news today, Baltimore Ravens fans, including our own Sarah Bartlett, breathing maybe a sigh of relief. The partial Achilles tear for Terrell Suggs appears to be not as bad as we once thought. He said earlier that he would definitely be back in November. Well, he mentioned earlier today that he has no more crutches and beasting. I'm not quite sure what that means, but he definitely means he doesn't have crutches on right now. So that's the latest there with Terrell Suggs. And also coming up this weekend, some people will be looking closely at the Big 33 game. A couple of future Penn Staters will be in that, including Evan Swan from Central Dauphin, Valley View's Naeem Wortman also in that game, and Wyoming Valley West Eugene Harris all will be playing in that game. They are Penn State recruits, and they'll be playing there. Technically, their final high school game. Bishop McDevitt's Miles Williams, the defensive back, will be playing in that game as well. He's on his way to Bloomsburg University in the fall with a 6-foot, 180-pounder. And one other mention of interest who's headed to Rutgers. We've heard a lot about him in this area, especially if you played some AA football or you're a fan of AA football. Blake Rankin, the quarterback at Bloomsburg High School, under new coach for the Lewisburg Green Dragons, Jeremy Wynn's offensive tutelage, will be going to Rutgers, and he will be playing in the Big 33 game this weekend as well. So that catches you up on the latest.
That's wonderful. All great news. Well, we're going to be talking Williamsport Crosscutters baseball at the bottom of the hour. Gabe will be here. I think Gabe does a great job at the ballpark.
He's a good guy.
Good guy, but he also does a great job at the ballpark. He's a very good pregame interviewer. He has a great tone when it comes to setting up the games and excitement that they have at the park. But there are also certain challenges that Williamsport faces that State College doesn't face. Ballpark, marketing, things like that, which we'll discuss with him at the bottom of the hour as well. We're also going to have next week the play-by-play voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs on to talk about the Phillies' prospects at AAA. And I think Kevin has the janitor set up over at the country club.
Yeah, that would be what I would, yeah, yeah.
Well done.
He was available anytime we needed. So
that's great. Next month, we're going to have on someone from ESPN on the British Open next month. We're also working on Doc Emmerich to get him on the show, too. They just finished the Stanley Cup.
He's got plenty of time now.
Well, that's the point. That's why I want to have him on, you know, afterwards instead of during. You know, it's nice to have the in the moment. That's great. But I also think it would be great for him to reflect on what's happened in the NHL season, what the NHL can do moving forward, and also about Penn State making the move to ice hockey and what he thinks that can mean for the college game, because he's a great ambassador of the game. So we'll have him on. So those are some of the plans that we have on after yesterday getting Jordan Steranko, a Pirates draft choice, on, and also getting Bill O'Brien on the show yesterday. We've had a run of one fabulous guest after another.
Unfortunately, I thought of a good question for Coach O'Brien yesterday. Well, I thought of it this morning, actually.
Why? Do you want to come over to my house and have a barbecue?
No.
That's really not a great question to ask him. That's a little personal.
No, that wasn't it. He has three players that are going to be in the Big 33 game, which I just talked about a few minutes ago. And how does he feel about these all-star games in football before they make the step into college? I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I've seen bad things happen in these all-star games.
Kevin, I'll give you my answer on that.
Okay.
I think I like the prestige of the fact that they made the Big 33, and I think that's important. But I'm not, and I hate to say this to all the people over the years who've done such a great job at the Big 33. I think at one point in time it held a great purpose, but now, because we have more than, for example, we have an all-star game coming up in Center County.
District 4 does as well.
The Leser Lumber Classic is what they call it here, where they have these all-star games. And I think it's fun for them to get together. It's just, you have 1 week, you get ready, you haven't been playing football since, So, to me, the biggest thing I see in all-star games, you know what I think the biggest victory is? Nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, I would agree. And Jeremiah Young from Bucknell is one that would, I'm sure, say the same thing, because he ended up missing most, actually his entire freshman season because of an injury in an all-star game.
Right. I mean, it's not the all-star game that creates it, but the fact is you really want them, the second six-week session at Penn State starts here June 27th. I think you just want them in here and getting ready for that.
But now I have to ask you a question.
But, there's prestige to being in it, but still.
But I have to ask you a question. As you chastised me for several days after the incident in New York on shagging fly balls, what are we going to do? Put these guys in a bubble until August?
No, they should be here learning Penn State's system and then should be ready to go when it's time to play. Shagging balls in the outfield is part of his pregame routine, and it also gets his running in. You have to get your running in somehow, and believe me, you can hurt a knee, whatever, if you're jogging along, you hit a drain. You can hurt it if you happen to hit the lip of the infield wrong. There's all sorts of things that you can do to make it happen. By playing in an all-star game in which you have not gone through the activity itself for months, and then in a week get yourself back into playing and then play an all-star game in an unfamiliar system, it's not something that I'm as much in favor of.
I'll catch you one of these days, speechless.
I think they're prestigious. I think the Big 33 is incredible prestige. Every single Super Bowl's had a Big 33 graduate in there. That's what I see. Again, there's prestige to it, and they can obviously decline it if they wish.
Sure.
They can decline it. But you're not going to.
What if they played this Big 33 game, say, January? Would that make a difference?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, all right. Now let's turn the table
just,
now.
There just really isn't any place to play it anymore.
Okay. Well, let's turn the table down for, instead of high school to college, what about these guys that are going from college to the NFL? Now, I realize that a lot of these games are before any of these guys are drafted in the NFL. And many of them use it as a stepping stone to maybe even get to the NFL or increase their worth in the NFL. But is that a little different because these guys, because the college players that are seniors in the Senior Bowl haven't been drafted yet to the NFL?
Well, those you have to go to. I mean, you have to be able to show them in person how you play, how you, you know, what you do during the course of the week. A lot of that, for example, is done all those drills during the course of the week, and you're still in game shape at that point when you're playing those games. You're just coming off your season. You're not months away from being in football shape and then suddenly going out and playing a football game.
And see, that's what I was looking for at the end of the year. Yeah.
And there is a major difference, by the way, between football shape, basketball shape, baseball shape, hockey shape.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just a big difference in the conditioning needed for each. And, you know, and remember I had Brad Pantle on the show who played football at Penn State, but he's now in charge of basketball strength and conditioning, okay? And he, you know, I had him go through what are the differences between football shape, basketball shape. What's the difference between the weights they need to lift versus the weights they have to lift? And when you're coming off a season, many of the athletes that you see that are quality athletes that are playing football, some have already migrated to basketball to start playing basketball season. Some have migrated to wrestling for wrestling season, and they're not in a football mode in January. Just like they're not in a football mode now because some of them were running track, some of them were playing baseball, and they're not into football shape to get ready for, you know, they're probably in really good shape, but there's still a specific way. And thus getting to them at campus, that period that starts June 27th here, for example, is invaluable because what happens is that they get acclimated to class, but also they get acclimated into what Craig Fitzgerald wants them to do to be in shape so that when they start camp, they're set to go. As opposed to your Mariano Rivera scenario.
I just wanted to see if I could catch you on one, that, but that didn't work. So
where for 20 years he did the same thing. That's how he gets his running in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I like the idea of the Big 33 game, and I think
so
I would like it more if it were in January instead of in June. But again, you know, as we talked about comparing the Senior Bowl to the Big 33 game, the big difference is a lot of these kids in high school have already made their commitments, whereas the college players in the Senior Bowl are not yet drafted by an NFL team, and they're trying to work their way to that level.
Yeah, but here's the other part about the Big 33 playing in January. I'm a football player. I'm not going to risk myself playing one more game getting hurt when I'm a few weeks away from National Letterman Tent Day, which is the first Wednesday of February.
And how many of these guys are playing another sport in the fall, like wrestling or basketball?
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Or, I'm sorry, not the fall, but the winter, rather.
Right, yeah, that's what I was saying. They go on to other sports.
Sure.
So doing that just isn't feasible. So, no, I'm not that crazy about playing a game. Now it's nice to have a taste of football at this time of the year. In days gone by, when the Big 33 was in late July before everybody went to their respective camps, you know, there's the Ohio State Award. Now you take that week, you know, you play a game. Now you're really starting to get yourself really in the football shape for training camp anyway. But because of the reporting rules that everybody has, which changed a few years ago, they had to move it back to June. It's a different proposition now. So that's how I look at it.
The other bad thing is that, like, the District 4, as you said, you have one out that way as well, but District 4 has an all-star game too. And they've always been challenged by the fact that they need to play that game in the evening because of the heat of the day.
You have to.
And that's another thing the Big 33 has had to adjust to over the years, is playing the game in the evening.
Right.
You know, let's face it, Saturday nights in the summer, not the best nights for television watching either.
Right. Exactly. So it's changed a lot of things over the years. And that's one of the things with the rules and so forth that it's hard for me to say that I wouldn't want a kid playing in the Big 33 because I know the prestige of it. But idealistically, I mean, that's idealistically. Realistically, I don't think so.
You know, I was looking at the list of Pennsylvania players. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that are staying fairly local. Pittsburgh, Temple, Syracuse, Maryland. I mean, these are guys that aren't going too far away. Obviously, right. Penn State, Northwestern is probably the furthest. There's two players that are actually headed to Northwestern, an offensive lineman, Ian Park from Upper St. Clair, who's he looks like a good offensive lineman, 6'4", 295, and also defensive back, Andrew Scalen from Spring 40, 6'2", 195. Headed to Northwestern, and those are the guys I think that have the longest travel right now when they get to college.
Right.
At least in the Pennsylvania side, anyway.
Right, man. But, you know, it's also helped over the years in terms of reinforcing the Penn State-Ohio State rivalry because there's so many Penn State players in the Big 33 game. There's so many Ohio State players in the Big 33 game. It's helped in that regard. So.
And we should also mention that the head coach is Mike Brennan, who is head coach of Blue Mountain and also spent many years at Mount Carmel. Yep. So congratulations to Mike on getting the job there as the head coach of the Pennsylvania team.
Yep, he'll do a great job, I'm sure. All right, we'll come back with more WKOK after this. Gabe Sinekumpe coming up, 3:35, talking about the Williamsport Crosscutters. And I was hoping to get somebody from ESPN on about the U.S. Open Golf Tournament, but instead, they're tied up, so what we do, we've arranged them for the British Open in 3 weeks. So that's how we bounce back like that. Just trying to keep everything moving forward.
I like to have them talk about the British Open anyway.
No, that's what they'll do. They'll be talking about the British Open.
I mean, that's a lot of time to cover on airtime there at the British Open because they go all morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're well compensated for it. Don't worry about it. But Stanley Cup was won by the Kings last night. The first time the Kings have won the Cup. I was happy for Bob Miller. Don't know Bob, but I know he's been the play-by-play voice of the Kings since 1973. He received a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame once, and he said, my greatest fear in life is that I retire and the Kings win the Cup the next year. Well, he didn't retire, and the Kings have won the Stanley Cup.
With ease, I might add.
Yeah, I mean, they really did. They really did. They did a tremendous job. Changed coaches in midstream. You know, Penguins did that with Dan Bylsma a few years back. And they went from having a mediocre season, barely making the playoffs, and then when they got in, I realize in the National Hockey League, if you win your division, you're one of the top three seeds. But still, they beat the top three seeds in the West. Phenomenal. Beat Vancouver, beat St. Louis, beat Phoenix. And they, for the third time ever, an American-born player wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. Brian Leach, out of Avon Old Farms Prep in Connecticut, won it in 94 with the Rangers. Tim Thomas won it last year, and Jonathan Quick, also out of Avon Old Farms Prep in Connecticut, wins it this year. I say that with Penn State, of course, getting its hands on ice hockey, and I took a look at the arena the other day. So a lot of concrete up, and now they're starting to put some steel up. So they're getting there. We're looking forward to that. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. 1-800-795-9565. Lenape Solar is powering our hotline when we talk to you. And we can't wait to open up those phones and hear from you. We're going to talk a little bit about the Williamsport Crosscutters. Coming up after the news at 3:35, Sarah has a lot of details on many things going on. Meanwhile, Kevin is checking out what's happening at Saratoga and also at other tracks across the country.
Seeing how much more money I can donate.
The jockeys love you.
Can I use it as a tax write-off? I can. It's gambling loss. Oh, wait, you have to win some first before you can take the loss.
Can I write you off?
Nope. I'm just a liability.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We are just 6 days away from the start of the New York Penn League season in central Pennsylvania, with a franchise in State College and a franchise at Williamsport. So we are looking forward to it. The draft is taking place. There will probably be more draft choices in the New York Penn League this year than at any point we've seen, and earlier, based on the signing rules. Thus, I think the quality of baseball that you will see in both Williamsport and in State College this summer will be of a better initial quality compared to the quality that you will see at the end of July, mid-July on. Usually takes a while to sign the draft choices and then get them in. But now with the new signing rules and the new caps, that has changed everything, and I think the New York Penn League will be the greatest beneficiary of that. And Gabe's on the line from Williamsport, and great to have him on board. Gabe, good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking forward to another great season between the Cutters and the Spikes. I want to talk to you for a moment about the draft rules. The draft rules, I think, benefit this league tremendously, the new ones they put in this year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it does a little bit. I think possibly in some cases it might be overrated a little bit. You know, by and large, we've gotten those top draft picks into our league. Now, the ones that are drafted, you know, let's say the first three or four guys taken in the draft, if it happens to be, you know, a pair of clubs that are in our league, yeah, those guys, you know, they sign real late under the old system, and they could possibly skip being in the New York Penn League. I think it kind of puts us back to where we were, oh, maybe 10 years ago, where, by and large, that top draft pick, if it's a college guy, he's going to be, you know, he's going to sign earlier now and get sent to the New York Penn League.
And that's the general rule, by the way. If you are a college player, you're probably going to the New York Penn League. If you're a high school player, you're going down to Florida.
Exactly. And, you know, and then hopefully we get those guys who are down in Florida, you know, this year, you get them in year two or sometimes even year three. And once in a while, if they're one of the top guys, sometimes they'll skip over the Penn League if they've been in Gulf Coast for a couple of years and they did well their second year.
Tell us about some of the greater challenges that Williamsport has. State College has its own challenges, but they also have their own advantages as well. What about the Williamsport side of things? What is the greatest challenge you face in an off season leading up to an opener and a summer season?
Well, you know, some of our greatest advantages are also our greatest disadvantages, if that makes sense. We are the second oldest minor league stadium operating in the United States. Historic Bowman Field opened in 1926. And with that is some awesome history. And it really is a different feel when you come into Bowman Field and watch a minor league baseball game than, say, State College. What I always say about the two of us, it's easy to compare and contrast them because we're so close. State College, Lebrano Park at Medler Field is beautiful, and it's great, and it's a great place to watch a ball game. Come to Historic Bowman Field, it's great, it's beautiful, and it's a great place to watch a ball game. But it's kind of apples and oranges. It's two different types of atmospheres and experiences that you get. And some people like that, one of them, and some people dislike the other one, you know, for those very reasons. So a lot of times that's, you know, can be an advantage, and it can also be a disadvantage to us as well.
Well, I have to think it's an advantage to go to both. I think it'd be both experiences play out very, very nicely. What about the marketing of the team?
Well, you know, as far as the marketing of the team goes, you know, we're in one of the smaller areas in minor league baseball. Certainly not the smallest, but one of the smaller ones. Luckily, knock on wood, we've been able to, you know, take this franchise and have it be successful. You know, we are for-profit businesses, and sometimes people do forget that because it's a game and it's entertainment and it's fun. But, you know, these are multi-million-dollar companies, all of them throughout minor league baseball. So there's always that challenge in a smaller market. People think that it's tickets and that really drives it in attendance, and that drives part of our business. Really, I like to say it drives 50% of it. The other 50% is sponsorship, you know, our business partners throughout the Susquehanna Valley. And, you know, in a smaller market, it's tougher to get those sponsors than in a larger market.
The Little League World Series obviously puts Williamsport on the map every year. That's a plus. For you, though, what are some of the challenges, especially trying to sell tickets while the Little League World Series is going on?
Wow, you know, that it's a huge challenge. And never more sharply was that put into focus than last year when Keystone Little League was in the Little League World Series, just 25 miles down the road from us. If you weren't at the ballpark, you know, at our Little League for their game, of which about 40,000 people were, you were at home glued to your TV set to see how they were going to do. And, you know, we went head-to-head against Keystone two times, I believe, at least twice. Maybe it was three, but I think it was two. We went head-to-head with them, including their first game in the Little League World Series. So talk about a challenge, yeah. It's tough to compete with an international event that's right in your backyard.
Give us an idea of what the Phillies affiliation has meant to Williamsport. Williamsport has been a town that has had many different affiliations over the years, from the Indians to the Cubs to the Pirates, but now it's the Phillies and the New York Penn League. What has that meant? And give us an idea if it's helped.
Well, I'll tell you where it's helped most, and that is keeping us in the public eye. Because whether people come out to the ballpark 10 times, once or twice, or not at all, if they're baseball fans, they still have an interest. We're talked about much more than, you know, we ever were when we were a Cubs affiliate or a Pirates affiliate in the 19 years that, you know, that I've been here. As far as, you know, ringing the cash register, yeah, a little bit, you know, a little bit more than before, but not in any great shakes. But I'll tell you what, if we had our choice of who to be affiliated with and you have every major league team in front of you, this is the one that we want. And, We've been very happy with them.
Now, State College comes into the league in 2006, and territory means something. Territorial rights still exist. For example, the Oakland A's want very much to move to San Jose, and the Giants claim that as part of their territory. And this happens more often than not than people realize. In the end, what has State College coming to the league meant for both towns?
Well, you know, number one, it's, that was part of our territory, but we were also, you know, State College was not a real strong, you know, obviously fan base area for us. I think that for the most part, those people gravitated, even when we were a Pirates affiliate, those people gravitated more to Altoona. So, you know, we were excited to finally have a rivalry that's close to us. From a player standpoint, you know, it's great once in a while to be able to get on a bus, go play an opponent on the road, and come back home and sleep in your own bed. You know, that's another handful of nights that you don't have to be, quote, on the road and away from home, even though you're playing, you know, away games. I can date myself by saying that, you know, back in the day when I came in the league in the mid-'80s, man, it was all about commuter trips. You know, the overnights were an anomaly to us all, where we had teams clustered it up in central New York, and we just go play a game 20, 30, 40 minutes down the road and come back that night. So, you know, the Sawbuck series with State College, the great relationship that we have on a professional level with Jason Dombach and everybody from Chuck Greenberg on down, it's been great, and we enjoy having a close rival.
I don't think anybody does better with pregame on the field than you do. The players you interview, managers that you interview, also the games and so forth that you'll take care of between innings. Give us an idea from your point, the preparation that you put into some of the pregame things you do, and also a lot of work that you do in the offseason to make sure you're putting the between innings situations on the field that you think the fans will gravitate toward.
Well, first, thank you. Coming from you, that's a high compliment. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'll take it. a lot goes on behind the scenes, not only here, but you know, in all the other 159 minor league markets. I mean, that's what we do. We all love baseball, but you know what I say only half jokingly is that those nine innings of baseball, number one, we have no control over them, so we don't worry about that too much. Number two, I say, you know, those nine innings, they're just something that gets in the way of all the fun and games that we do between innings. We're just waiting for that. And that's kind of the way we view it, because those are the things that we have the control over. We have control over whether your food is hot, whether your drinks are cold, whether the stadium and the restrooms are clean, and whether we put on a good show. Because, man, we know we have no control over the baseball, and we have no idea what kind of team we're going to have. We can have a team that's, I hope not, but god-awful on the field. There still has to be a reason for people to come out. And that's what makes minor league baseball, you know, so great. And to be honest, whenever we think, you know, we have a great show going on, all we have to do is go to any other minor league ballpark and be humbled because of the things that they do that we never thought of. But it's a great sharing experience in minor league baseball. You know, technically we do not compete against each other business-wise. We compete against each other on the field. But business-wise, we share everything. So it's 160 teams that put their best practices out there for all of us to share, and that's really a great thing. But man, a heck of a lot of work goes into putting on that together that script and what we call the show. That's the way I view it. You know, my office becomes what I call a dressing room at about 5:30, and I'm getting ready to go out and go on stage. And that seems like you're you know, maybe puffing it up a little much, but that's how you need to think, and that's what we tell everybody, and also that every night is opening night. We'll treat hopefully the other 37 games just like we do Monday the 18th.
And in fact, the interview part of it, it's for you, and because it's the New York Penn League, the vast majority are not returning guys. They are fresh to the market and also fresh to the fans, which means you have the job through questions to introduce them and get their personalities out. Give us an idea of the preparation you put into that, because these are fresh faces to your audience every year.
Well, not only are they fresh faces to the audience, they're pretty much fresh faces to us, you know, because there's not a lot of information out there about these guys. Thank God for the internet. In the days before that, I mean, you know, it would take all season to get to unearth, you know, a couple of good nuggets about the guys on your team. Now at least we could do the research, especially if they played at a bigger college, and we could start to get some information, and there's information sheets we have them fill out, but there's not a lot of biographical information on these guys. And for the most part, to the average fan, they're certainly not household names. So, yeah, we kind of do that interview before the game. As you know, we call pregame live, and ask them some real questions, some silly questions, to kind of introduce him to the folks, because if we can get people to follow one of the players, you know, and like one of the players in one way, shape, or form, that brings them back out to the ballpark, and it gives them a reason to cheer. So, and that's what we want.
Gabe, we're now in countdown time before the start of the New York Penn League season, which will be Monday, 7:05, historic Bowman Field when State College takes on Williamsport. So between now and then, in the rush to make sure that opening day is special and also sets the tone for the rest of the summer, what is this time like and what will the next few days be like?
You know, we do more of getting things ready, you know, over the last, you know, 2 weeks than every year, and it's been 20 years, and I keep telling myself, why can't we do some of this, you know, in the beginning of May? There's, for some reason, you can't do it, whether it's because we're working on other things that have to be done then or whatever. But, you know, some of the stuff that we do, it's like, gosh darn it, 20 years later, I'm still, you know, chasing my tail with a week to go and putting up signs in the stadium and, you know, all that. So last night I just finished our script, you know, our public address script. Of course, there'll be 22 changes between now and Monday. But finally, the skeleton, at least, of that is put together, and we do a PA and scoreboard run through Thursday night so that, you know, I see that, you know, we've got everything in place for all of our partners and all of the contests and announcements that we have. We fit a lot into 90 seconds between innings, I can tell you that. So, you know, signage and just all the last-minute preparations. If you saw my to-do list, you'd think, wow, it looks like a big doodle page. But and every time you cross one thing off, you add three more things. The good thing is that closer to June 18th, once we get there and it's 6 o'clock, it doesn't matter how many of those things are crossed off our list. We go out there and put on the show. And then we'll pick up the pieces at 10 o'clock Monday night and get ready to do it again.
Yeah, we get a day off in between this time because State College, we get its opener on Tuesday.
Exactly.
Gabe, you and the Williamsport operation I have tremendous respect for, and I think it's a great experience, and we encourage everybody out there to take in a few cross-cutter games during the course of the summer up at historic Bowman Field, because I think you'll find it to be a great experience, and also introduce all the Philly fans across the area to seeing some of the prospects that eventually will make it to the major leagues, of which the numbers end up being far more incredible than people believe. And congratulations on the great job you've done so far up there, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday.
I appreciate it, my friend, and I'll be looking for you.
All right, Gabe, thanks so much. Gabe Sinacopi does a great job with the Crosscutters up in Williamsport. They open up with State College, and that will be Monday night. We're looking forward to that. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you can make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to our planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives. Professional, certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 70-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
The temperature in June can get hot, but not as hot as the lineup of Kias at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 46 of the hottest, fastest-selling vehicles in America. Built in the USA, 2013 Kia Sorentos start at just $21,940. Built in the USA, 2012 Optimas from $19,975. 2012 Kia Souls for as low as $14,730. Want great fuel economy? Sunbury Motors Kia has the 40 mpg 2013 Kia Rio starting at $14,960. Or how about the 2012 Optima Hybrid with up to an amazing 47 mpg and starting at $25,957. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, you get an extra set of tires. The hottest, fastest-selling cars are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back to the show. Gabe was tremendous. And I strongly encourage people. I think it's inexpensive. It's fun. And you get to see prospects. There's so many guys. You know, we've talked how many times about Dominic Brown in the show. You know, up, down. You know, what are you going to do with him? They want to. Well, guess where he played? Williamsport. You know, even though he didn't play in Williamsport, because at this time they were the Pirates affiliate, Ryan Howard began his career in Batavia. And I was talking to the trainer for Batavia one day, and he said, you know what? He says, you know what's impressive about Ryan Howard? I said, what's that? He said, he's the only player I've ever gone to the airport to pick up that was wearing a jacket and tie. I thought, wow. But that's where these guys begin their careers. I mean, even John Elway played in the New York Penn League when he was messing around with the Colts. He played in the Yankees organization with Oneana. So the number of guys that you see that are New York Penn League grads, and Joe Savory took the loss the other night. He was a Williamsport just a few years ago.
He was a cross-cutter, yep. So was Michael Schwimmer.
Yeah, Michael Schwimmer, we've talked about them. But this is where we've seen them. Freddie Galvis. We've talked so much about Freddie Galvis. Well, the first time I saw Freddie Galvis was I saw him play 10 times with Williamsport Crosscutters, and I had a very good feel about what kind of player he was in the field and what kind of temperament he had at the plate. You could see it in Freddie Galvis, that he had a chance. And when I think of upward mobility for a ball player, when I watch them at this level, I do not think about the major leagues. I never think that way, and you can't allow that. I think of them, you know what? I think this guy has upward mobility. I think he can get to double A. Then at double A, it becomes your make or break time. That's the level where you find out in a span of maybe 1 to 3 years whether you're going to be able to make it to the majors or not. But I think you can tell when watching certain players in the New York Penn League, yep, that guy's going to make at least double A. And then after that, we'll see how he handles it. And you can see that. And I could see that in Joe Savory. I could see that in Schwimmer. I could see that in Freddie Galvis. I remember when Darnold, who was in, Darnold, I think, was in the Halladay trade, right? You know, you could see why. Catcher, good player. You knew he was going to make double A. Sebastian Valle, he's at double A now with Reading. You saw him and right away said, this guy is going to move through the organization. You could see it. Same thing with Cesar Hernandez, who is at AA Reading now. Those are guys that you see on this level at Williamsport and at State College where you can make that determination of who's going to move up. Then when they get to AA, then it's make or break time. But this is the route right here. This is where it starts.